Luke opens this chapter, the chapter in which this story is found, with a story about repentance, about turning from death to life. And then he tells a parable of a fig tree that does not produce fruit. But when the owner of the vineyard comes, the field worker buys it another season, saying he'll spade in some manure around it to see if it will finally bear fruit. So these two stories about turning from death to life set up this third story that Luke shares about Jesus healing a woman on the Sabbath. And in that story about healing on the Sabbath, we're invited by Jesus to notice our assumptions about the meaning of Sabbath and what our Sabbath practice looks like. But then also, the presence of the woman invites us to notice what in our own experience feels like bent overness, the spiritual or psychological or physical suffering that we bear. In this case, too, there's an implication about the law, about a kind of policing of access to healing and wellness, to a life that really opens up space to rest, to exhale. Jesus, here in another similar text, reimagines Sabbath practice to mean not a prohibition from work, but a provision of the capacity to rest, to truly exhale. As we hear the tensions between Jesus and the leader of the synagogue over interpretation of Sabbath practice, we should keep in mind the temptation, which is always there for Christians, of supersessionist thinking, a powerful form of anti-Semitism. It's not that Jesus shares the sort of Christian better interpretation of the Sabbath over against the Jewish worse interpretation of the Sabbath, but rather Jesus is a Jewish leader debating with another Jewish leader within a tradition of debate about religious practice. And I think seeing Jesus in that Jewish context as a Jewish leader allows us to enter the debate without assuming that now we have the right answer as Christians. Within the context of tradition and debate, I think it's interesting to notice that the head of the synagogue doesn't directly critique Jesus, but rather says to the crowd, "You have 6 days to come and seek healing. Come one of those days, not on the Sabbath." But echoing his comments elsewhere about how if God tends to the birds of the air and the flowers of the field, God will certainly care for you. Here Jesus argues that of course people care for their animals, making sure they're fed and watered on the Sabbath. And shouldn't much more so this woman be set free from her bent overness to a finally full, deep, standing breath and exhale, resting in Jesus' gift of freedom? Early this month, Ezra Klein's podcast focused on how gender is complicated for all of us. That was the title of the podcast. And his guest was University of Utah professor of English and Gender Studies, Catherine Bond Stockton. And I loved it. It was a brilliant, rich conversation. One arresting insight for me, when I resonated with, in a way, because as a boy, I was bullied for being effeminate, as a quote, suspect boy. She made the point about how so often when people come out, they come out into judgment of the law that rejects who they now understand themselves to be. And she said, coming out is brave exactly because so often embracing one's true self, full sort of public self, comes at the risk of judgment. Judgment of the state, judgment of the church, judgment of family and friends. So in my case, rather than coming out as my soft, feminine, knitting, pie-baking self, I turned to the weight room, to football, to try and escape that judgment. It was a way I chose to stay bent over in my life. Yet that's not the way with Jesus. He's all about opening up space for us, like this woman, to stand up from our curved in on ourselves ways of living, to breathe the deep breath of freedom rather than shallow breaths of fear. Helping create such spaces for breathing deeply and exhaling is, I think, the call of Christian community. We're called to be about just this healing work of making space for each other as fully and deeply as possible.